putting it out there and it just goes, that's relaxing into what is. So what's the source of your tension in your life? Where is it coming from? Anybody?
Attachment.
Attachment.
Neutral thoughts.
Thoughts, yeah. And of course, attachments and thoughts all come from the mind. So your tension comes from your mind. So, and your attachment to this or that is like a projection of your mind. It's projecting on top of what is, your idea of what is. One of the things that we try to do by our practice is become masters of our own lives. So what is that? What does that mean? One of the first things we do when we sit down to practice is we kind of look at our body and our posture and recognize where there is tension in the body or in the mind or in the thought forms that you have, and just kind of start letting it go. Just kind of recognizing it and letting it go. So letting it go does not mean you put it away. Whatever's there is there. Relaxing into what is not moving what is into some other place. It's just relaxing into what is. It's non-attachment. It's just another way of saying non-attachment. So Buddha says life is suffering. What is suffering? It's tension. When you're master of your own life, then you can come or go at will. There's nothing dragging you one way or another. So the Heart Sutra, Gate Gate Paragate Parasamgate Bodhisaha, beyond, beyond. At last there is an end to suffering. Beyond, beyond. Beyond what? Our projections of how things are, just how they are. So it's not hanging out in nirvana, it's not hanging out in some samadhi, it's not hanging out at some bar and drowning in your troubles, although it is all that. It's all that. When you're the master of your own life, you come and go as you will. You don't get dragged around by circumstance, situations, other people's ideas of what you are, who you are. So we have tension in all these different areas of our life, in our bodies, in our emotional responses to circumstances, to relationships. There's tension because it's always a duality. Because of our identification with the idea of self, I and mine. And then there's this separation. Relaxing into what is. Well, what is? It's our original nature. It's Buddha nature. It's non-dual by nature. It's not self becoming some other. Let go of that whole idea that you have to become something. And believe what you already are. Trust in self, the big self, with a capital S, not the small self. you know, how not to get caught up in stuff. You have to recognize it for what it is. You have to actually see it. You can't project onto it. When you project onto something, you can't be really a useful person in a situation when you're projecting your idea of what that is. You know, I'm helping. Let me help you. I can show you. I'm like your big sister or your big brother. Always knows better. Hey, there you go, doing it that way again. You know, this is the way to do it, man. Get off it. Oh, you're right. I always do it wrong because I'm the little brother. So we identify with all these different ways of being that are not who we are. And they limit us and cause our suffering and our tension. Now we have tension. Buddha was wonderful in that his teachings are like science and psychology and being a doctor and healing, and it's all encompassing because what's he dealing with? The very nature of our minds. Our mind, how we look at the world, how we think of the world, it's our mind. So that's why they say that's all that exists is mind. So when you sit, you know, you don't push things away. You don't rearrange them, say, oh, you know, I'm going to put that in the closet. I'll deal with this one over here. You can do that. But doing it from the point of view of non-attachment or non-duality is a whole other experience. There's no projecting. There's no tension that comes from it. It's got completely relaxed state of being in the flow. Being in the flow. Whatever it is you're doing, when you're not attached to some sort of result, it's just being who you are. And you can trust that. You can trust it. All that doubt about, self-doubt about who I am. So not, be careful now, because I'm not encouraging egotistical views, you know, because that's going to throw you and you're going to find tension and you're going to end up right back in that realm of samsara and tension by being narcissistic. Now, that's a whole different thing. That's why, you know, we can't really talk about it. I can't really tell you what it is. You have to experience it. You have to experience your own nature and trust it. You can't, you know, put it on like a coat. You can go out, you know, become a Buddhist monk, shave your head, and be an asshole. It's no different. It doesn't matter what robe you put on. It's who you are. So as long as you're projecting out into the world something that either you adopted as being real that isn't, or it's just your own imagination. But it's a beautiful world, you see. I mean, there's joy that is a natural outcome of relaxing into what is. The suchness of your being is a beautiful, all-encompassing, loving, blissful state of being. And you already have it. It's not like you have to go out and get it. So as soon as somebody's teaching you to go out and chase something, it's a false teaching. One of the most beautiful things that ever happened for me in my meditation was recognizing that it's just mind. Thoughts would come, or emotions or feelings or whatever. It's just mind. And it was liberating. It was like, yeah, that's not even, you know, that's just momentary. It's like, poof, it's like a cloud. It's coming in right now and now it's going away. It's, you know, But it's not that it's not important, because sometimes there's information there that you need. It's like your body, you know, tells you when you have to go take a piss. I mean, what are you going to do? Just ignore it? I'm meditating now. I'm not going to go take a pee. You know, it's not that we change how life works. There are causes and conditions that are always there. Phenomena is a phenomena. It's the way it is. So it's not abiding somewhere else and being all blissed out because you're not, you know, concerned about ordinary stuff. Ordinary stuff is where it's at. That's it. There's nothing else. So tension. It's not something to get rid of. Tension is, it's like taking your temperature. It's like, oh yeah, there's tension here. Yeah. And then something shifts with the recognition. Or anxiety. You know, I'm feeling anxious. Just the recognition of that, not identifying with it, but the recognition of it already sets it free. See, so freedom, being free, isn't being free of tension. You see? Freedom is tension. That's why in Buddha's teachings, he's always saying, it is and it isn't. The Heart Sutra, you know, no old age and death and no end to old age and death. Central teaching. We're not just talking about old age and death right there. We're talking about life and death moment to moment. Things come, things go, things come, things go. A master, when they have really mastered this experience that we call life, they can come and go at will. If they want to die, they can die. If they want to live, they can live. If they want to burn in a fire, they can burn in a fire. If they don't want to burn in that fire, they don't burn in that fire. When they really understand, you know, that's Buddha. The Buddha's body is all of it. It's not just some part or something over there or up there in the heavens. It's all of it. So at some point, Michael's gone, Buddha's sitting there. Anything else today?
Michael's back.
Okay. What's Michael have to say?
Personally, I just feel like this period right now, I'm meditating, you know, daily, and I'm showing up here. But this part of it is feeling a little bit empty for me, and I feel like almost like I'm come out, like I've disconnected a little bit from not a goal or so, like a thing I locked into or the thing I was aspiring to. I don't know. I just kind of, part of me, I go through periods where it feels rote moment to moment. And it hasn't felt that way before. And I just wonder if this is just like what that is, you know?
It's natural.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, there are so many stages that we go through in our practice, and it's just another form of tension. It's just teaching you something about yourself. Why is that? I mean, what's lacking? Is there something lacking?
Yeah.
What's lacking?
Oh, I mean, it's funny because I guess part of me feels like when I was doing it and I was able to lock in, what I'm really doing is I'm locking into, like, you know, I use the state of samadhi or whatever, just as an example, where it feels like, oh, I'm getting something out of this process.
Yes.
And then now when I'm doing it and maybe it's kind of worn off a little bit, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Now I'm going, like, hey, where's the return?
Yeah. Where's the juice?
It seems silly.
Yeah, it's plateaued.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you've climbed the mountain and now you're on the plateau. So enjoy the view. See, it feels like, you know, there's nowhere to go now. Like, right. Now what? You know, it's like, see, I've kind of lost interest. It's not keeping me interested in what's around the next corner.
Well, when you have, when you're in a state where you feel like I need some kind of assistance, some help, this really provides in the beginning.
Yes.
And then once you kind of get through that and learn to deal with it,
yes.
You're like, now what are we doing with this? Yeah, it's.
I think I need to give you a job to do. Yeah, maybe Michael should be our next Dharma talk.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, when you're available, you could come and sit on the high seat here. I'm serious. I would love it. Because you have a lot to offer, and I think it would be a great thing.
Yeah.
Because you're always, you know, you share a lot every time you come, and I really appreciate it. And I think you're ready.
Maybe.
That plateau.
Maybe.
Well, think about it.
I will.
All right. Good. Think about it.
So I was talking to my daughter last night.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking about the poems that I like to write.
Yeah.
And very often I put them on Facebook.
Yeah.
And so she and I had this conversation about how we put things on Facebook and wait for the response. And I realized as we were talking that I rate myself on how many people looked at it, how many people commented on it. And she said, Mom, it's like being addicted to crack. Mm-hmm. And we had this whole conversation. I said, it's true, though. I mean, you know, it was a great conversation. But
yeah.
Did they like it
or not? Yeah. You know, I can just feel the tension rising when you're going through all that.
Balance was saying, yeah, that's what you put out there, like, hey, world, what do you think of this? And you go, not very much.
Right, no response. I thought it was brilliant myself.
I spent all this time into it. Don't you get it?
Well, that's what was so nice about Blair's offering, right? Because most people don't say a word. And it's fine that they don't. And, you know, but him speaking up and saying, I just want you to know, you know, I appreciate you. Mm-hmm. It's a nice thing for people to do. So there is that, right? Mm-hmm. But the way Facebook is set up with likes, so much of it is really fake. Mm-hmm. And same with the friends. I mean, how many of these 3,000 people are really friends?
Right.
You know, it's all a put on. So keeping it in perspective is difficult. But if you're sitting in your Dharma nature, in your Buddha nature, you have the perspective.
Yeah.
Then it's not going to trouble you so much. Yeah.
It's interesting. I also pointed about non-attachment. I work at that all the time. It's kind of complicated, you know? If I post something on Facebook and I don't get certain responses, I really work at it. It happened for quite a while. I'm not attaching to that. But what about a familial situations? Non-attachment. All attachments cause us the most grief and the most stress.
Yes.
It's really such a significant thing to know how to non-attach.
Yeah.
And what do you do?
Well, the advantage of non-attachment there is it gives you the freedom to do what is appropriate rather than what you are kind of pushed into doing or feel that you have to do out of guilt or some other dysfunctional view of the situation, where non-attachment gives you a broader view. Like to ask the question, how can I help? How can I help from the view of non-attachment is so different than being an enabler, you know? So that's why non-attachment is so important, because of all those kinds of situations we find ourselves in. You know, how can we really be helpful? The bodhisattva, that's why we talk about a bodhisattva as being not identified with the idea of I, me, and mine, of having a spirit or a body or a being. You know, they're not identified with that, and they're not identified with results. A bodhisattva doesn't think about, oh, I'm helping now, and, you know, what do I get out of it? There's nothing there like that. Nothing. They're completely unattached. So that's kind of what you're talking about is really how do we be a good bodhisattva in our lives? Like Alice said, it's not attachment. But non-attachment doesn't mean you don't care, you see? So how can I help still comes up, but it comes up from a compassionate point of view. And also know when not to act. I'm not helping him by enabling him, let's say. Just as an example.
Giving advice
when it's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Attachment comes up, but it's okay that it comes up. We're not trying to get rid of it, you see? We're trying to understand where it comes from. So we understand our own nature, our own selves. And then we also understand everyone else's. So then we're coming from a place of wisdom instead of projecting our own idea of what should be. It's a whole different way of viewing the world, which right now, the way the world is, we could use a whole lot more of it. You know, we have to see things the way they are, not the way, you know, not, as I said before, this custom truth that we've created for ourselves. Because once we're stuck there, boy, it's really hard to get out of that. Once we have a custom idea of what reality is. Crazy. It's a lot of craziness. But it's always been that way. Ignorance is ignorance. It's always been there. People are ignorant. Some are wise. Some are ignorant. So trust, you know, trust in your nature, your Buddha nature. Observe. The great observer instead of the doer. It's another way of putting it.
I think when I trust myself that way, it's much easier for me to not get all involved in everybody else's life.
Yeah. You can still offer your help and your wisdom and share. Mm-hmm. It's like shining a light on something. It just brightens it up. So when your light's shining, you know, you're bright, you know, you're making somebody else's life brighter too, because their light is there too. And they recognize it on some level. That's what I'm talking about when I talk about the joy of life. You know, that's the beauty of it. That's the love. When, like, take nature, for example, right? I mean, look at the interconnectedness of everything, right? Beautiful flowers. I mean, look at the energy that goes into creating this incredibly beautiful thing, just so a bee can land in it and pollinate it. Or at least that's from our point of view, right? But maybe it's a whole lot more than that. Maybe it's just, you know, just creation. Enjoying being created. What do we know? You know, we're just projecting our own ideas on it. We get hung up. It's easy to get hung up in all our projections because we have all this information, and the information is always trying to manipulate us and grab us and take our attention. So, you know, we get stuck. It's not that there isn't good information, but there's a lot of misleading information, you know. Clickbait is a great term because I see most headlines as clickbait. What's a headline? It's to get you to.
What's that word?
Clickbait.
Oh.
It's baiting you with a to click. Yeah. And we all use it. I mean, I use it on our website. When I title our Dharma talks, it's clickbait. I want you to go in there and find out what the talk's about. Keep carrying on.